Here's a fact. Fluoridated water reduces cavities. Scientific studies have proven it multiple times. Yet for decades, public health and government officials have had to defend fluoride in public drinking water against, at times, outlandish conspiracy theories. It's a battle currently playing out in Charlotte. WFAE's Ben Bradford examines why we have trouble believing the science.
Philip Alexander is a familiar face at Charlotte City Council meetings. Back in March, former Mayor Patrick Cannon was on a first-name basis with him.
Phil's back with us again to talk about the water fluoridation program in Charlotte.
I spoke several weeks ago against adding hydrofluorosilicic acid to the water supply. I thought that the members of the council would be alarmed that toxic waste was being added to the water.
In that calm, almost nonchalant tone, Alexander lists government agencies and scientific studies warning of lowered IQ and bone cancer. You probably want your city leaders looking into those health threats, but there's one problem in this case. The science overwhelmingly shows the safety and efficacy of fluoridated water. And the conspiracy theory that our leaders are poisoning us with it extends back decades.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
That's General Jack Ripper in the film Dr. Strangelove, airing an actual 1940s fluoride conspiracy theory. The conspiracy is varied from communist plot to corporate dumping of industrial waste to, well, it's not clear. It doesn't have to be. A large body of research shows that how we perceive risks, whether it's the safety of fluoride, genetically modified foods, vaccines, or x-rays, it can have little to do with reason.
The way we feel about them is a feeling. The word feeling matters.
David Ropeek is a consultant and author about risk perception and communication.
The definition of the word risk is the probability of something bad happening, and bad is subjective. It's a feeling.
We feel that adding a chemical to our water must be bad, and then we find ways to rationalize it, says Ohio State psychologist Ellen Peters.
We tend to seek out, interpret, and weigh information based on our prior beliefs, and oftentimes without sufficient regard for the evidence for or against those prior beliefs.
It's the same reason the ref is always out to get your team. Peters and her colleagues have shown, in the same way, our worldview skews our views of science. It's why so many conservatives discount climate change, and liberals overrate the hazards of nuclear energy. We're not experts, yet we disagree with the scientific consensus. Last year, voters in Portland, Oregon, rejected fluoridating their drinking water. The city council in Albuquerque, New Mexico, similarly polled their vote. And by the end of Alexander's speech in March, the Charlotte City Council and former mayor had their own concerns.
I think the question is, why does it have to exist if it has to?
The council called in Mecklenburg County Health Director Dr. Marcus Plesha at its first meeting this month to defend the program, which fights tooth decay.
I think sometimes we lose sight of what a big problem this is, of people, particularly children's teeth, basically rotting in their mouths. And fluoride makes a huge difference in keeping that from happening.
He discusses how it particularly helps those with the least access to dental care and the endorsement by every major relevant U.S. health organization. And ultimately, he gets frustrated by continued questions.
You have people out there that have very real concerns, so I'm not hearing both sides of the concerns here. I'm just hearing why fluoride is good.
I've wanted to be diplomatic and respectful, but basically we do not think there's any scientific evidence for any of the concerns that have been risen. I mean, that is the way we feel. We are the public health experts.
Effectively, when they say, here are the facts, calm down, they're being snotty.
Our consultant on risk communication, David Ropeek, says this is a classic trap scientists fall into.
They're dismissing the real emotional reasons why people may perceive the facts differently than them.
Okay, so is there something he could say that would be convincing? I visited Wynne Madry, a senior vice president at public relations firm Fleischmann Hillard, to watch the tape and get his take. He says mention the national support, but focus on our region specifically, connected to us, and why it makes sense for our water.
Here's how we've evolved and how we continue to realize this is the right decision for our community.
You feel like you haven't heard that?
Not the broad perspective. No, I've heard we have a CDC study, we've got local experts, everybody's on board, we have all the data we need.
And he agrees, don't dismiss the opponents, but engage with their data and explain where it's wrong.
Not squashing the opposition, but just say, look, we've read their stuff. Here's where it doesn't hold water in the United States. It's not peer-reviewed, and it's from a foreign country, and so the data sets are wrong.
A Harvard study connecting fluoride and low IQ actually looks at China, where water can naturally contain exponentially more fluoride than we allow in our tap water. Madry also suggests going on the offensive. Get dentists to educate patients instead of reacting after misinformation is widespread. But ultimately, we usually side with what feels right, whether it's about fluoride or another scientific issue. And if we want to follow the facts, we have to be willing to challenge our beliefs. For WFAE News, I'm Ben Bradford in Charlotte.